introduce yourselves, please.
I'm Jessica Taylor. I'm a political reporter here for NPR.
I'm Peggy Lowe. I'm investigations editor here for KCUR, and I'm covering this fantastic race.
No politicians here today, just us reporter types to talk about the home stretch of that fantastic race between Jason Kander and Roy Blunt for the U.S. Senate. Let's get started. This is Statehouse Blend Missouri. I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee and donuts to better understand the Missouri General Assembly, the people, and the issues in Jefferson City. Here we go. Welcome to the production studio here at KCUR 89.3. We do not actually have the donuts today. It's all business. My friend and colleague here at KCUR, Peggy Lowe, has been covering the Blunt-Kander race, as she said, and we also are welcoming Jessica Taylor, who is the lead digital political reporter for NPR. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Jessica, let's talk about you for just a second. You're kind of an election guru. When did that start for you?
I've always loved House and Senate races. I think since college, I just got really interested in them. And that's all sort of always been my beat throughout the about 10 years I've been a political reporter. And 4 years ago, I worked for the Rothenberg Political Report, now the Rothenberg Gonzalez Political Report, tracking races. I've worked for National Journal and Politico, focusing on House and Senate races. So, you know, the White House sort of gets top billing during election year, but these House and Senate and governor's races are just as important and as exciting, too.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a finest election night memory?
4 years ago, I was also a consultant on CBS, advising them off air, reporter off air who was covering House and Senate races. And I grew up watching CBS News on election night. So it was kind of a very surreal moment and really, really fun. But we're excited for election night here at NPR. We have a lot of fun things planned. So be sure to tune in. I know we'll be going to you all, too, to talk about Missouri and things. And we've got a lot of coverage online. We're doing Facebook Live. We're doing lots of digital stuff. We have really awesome graphics. You can go to npr.org and follow all of the live returns and stuff, too. So it's gonna be an exciting night.
That is pretty exciting. So I'm really glad you can join us, Jessica. Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So let me ask you both. This race has gone from being a substantial lead for Roy Blunt early on to Jason Kander pulling close, maybe even slightly ahead for a while, although there's some suggestion that that's heading back the other way in these last few days. In any case, it's going to go down to the wire. I guess I want to ask you both to start, what do you attribute Blunt's vulnerability and Kander's success to, even in a state that on the presidential race, at least, is really solidly Republican? Jessica?
So I was hearing about this race from National Republicans back in the spring, actually, for them telling me to be watching this one. This is one that could really sort of be a dark horse in the coming months, and that absolutely came true for them. I think that they sort of saw this. It had all the potentials of an upset, and we've seen this really come true. They thought that Jason Kander was a very, very good recruit for Democrats. One consultant I talked to even said he was probably their best recruit across the board. You know, he's young. He has the military background. He's sort of the contrast that Roy Blunt is not. And they're also super frustrated with Roy Blunt because he did not take this race seriously enough. And in an anti-establishment, anti-Washington year, he is sort of the embodiment of all of that. And so, you know, they've gone in, they've had to sort of pour money in this to save him. I think a week ago, I was talking to someone tracking all of the Senate races, and they said, you know, it's gone. Like, we do not feel good about this one. I talked to the same source yesterday and on Thursday, and they were like, okay, it could be a little bit better. And I think that's attributed, again, to sort of the shift in the national election with, you know, the Obamacare numbers coming out, the bringing back up Hillary Clinton's emails and things. And, you know, that's if anything is going to save Roy Blunt, it's ironically going to be Donald Trump, whereas he hurts them in so many of these other races. But I mean, this is a state that certainly trends Republican on the presidential level. And Trump is, in polls that I've seen, he is outperforming Roy Blunt. So he sort of needs Trump to drag him across the finish line.
Peggy, you're observing it from here. And I know we want to talk about some of the issues in the race. But as you've watched both candidates, what do you see?
To echo what Jessica just said is Blunt really has appeared unprepared for this. I was out at a local GOP headquarters, Clay County, which is just north of Kansas City, in August. And there's his hometown crowd. There's people that love him. He gets off his big bus because he's been going across the state. There are two reporters there, me and a woman from Liberty, Missouri, and that's like a weekly newspaper. This isn't going to be hard-hitting stuff. He's prepared for us to follow up on questions afterwards. And the woman from Liberty asked about jobs because that's what he had just been talking about. And he sort of fumbled and bumbled an answer about, well, I've never voted against minimum wage. And then I followed up with—
Is that your Roy Blunt impersonation?
That was my Roy Blunt impression. Thank you very much. And then I asked about the polls being, you know, getting tighter. This is in August. And he fumbled and bumbled again. And then he took off against his communications guy for allowing us near him. It just felt like he was A, unprepared, B, so, you know, used to being protected by that Potomac bubble. And here he was out in the hinterlands with real people. And he couldn't handle it. So for me, that's just a pretty great metaphor for what the rest of the campaign has been.
Let's talk about the kind of the handful of key issues that really have defined this race. Peggy, what's one of those?
I think probably one of the first ones, and to give Roy Blunt a real break on this one, is the insider versus outsider idea this year. And, you know, Trump has been, his rise has been attributed to the idea that he is an outsider to Washington. And Blunt is perceived as the ultimate insider. I mean, really, politics is his family business. He's in the biz, his kids are in the biz, his wife's in the biz. They're lobbyists. Yet he has to endorse Trump because Trump is leading, as Jessica said, here in Missouri. So what's a guy to do? You know, play insider, play outsider. You know, he's trying to run on his experience and yet kind of tie himself to Trump. Yet, when asked out on the campaign trail, hey, what about Trump's recent saying, whatever, you know, the controversy of the day was, he said, I'm not going to answer those things. And so it became really awkward with reporters. And he would sort of, you know, kind of come back at them and say, there you go again. I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah.
So it's been a real tough year for Roy Blunt.
Let's listen to a campaign ad for Jason Kander that I think pretty well captures that dynamic, that piece of the message about Roy Blunt.
Our senator should serve Missouri, but Roy Blunt is all too willing to play ball with lobbyists and special interests. Blunt's wife and three of his children are all lobbyists, raising questions about conflict of interest. Blunt's taken $1 million from special interest power brokers and voted against tough lobbying reform. Roy Blunt, the worst of Washington. And Citizens United is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And that ad gives you a pretty good feel for how the tenor of a lot of the campaign. Jessica, when you hear ads like that, I know those play in districts all over the country, but does that stick?
I think it does this year when you have just an electorate that is so frustrated. I mean, you know, for the past couple of elections, we've seen just sort of this throw the bums out mentality. Washington is so broken. We want to send new people there to fix it. And you have Roy Blunt that's been there for so long. Like they mentioned, like the lobbyist. Lobbyist is a dirty word almost in this election and has been for quite some time. And you see his family ties and they just, you know, and the story that you all told too about, you know, he just sort of seems to have lost touch. I mean, one of my favorite anecdotes is during the August recess when most people are back campaigning in the state, he was actually spotted here at a farmer's market. You know, so it's sort of the idea that he is spending more of his time there, not enough time back there. And, you know, with Kander, who has sort of been this sort of unassuming candidate, he's, you know, presents himself as sort of more of a moderate, someone who can get things done. He's been elected statewide and, you know, a traditionally red state. It's sort of like, okay, maybe let's take a chance on this guy. He's saying all the right things and presenting himself this way. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, we just want somebody new.
At least he was at a farmer's market. I mean, it's not like they saw him at Walmart or something.
Yeah, true. We only have Walmarts up here.
There you go. If only, right? Peggy, is there a similar issue on the other side that sort of has put Kander on the defensive in this campaign?
I don't think so. You know, as we were preparing for this today, I was thinking, what's the opposite of a perfect storm? And I guess that would be sort of a perfect chance. And so I think that Jason Kander was really wise for his young 35 to get in this year because Washington, as Jessica said, wants to throw the bums out. He's a new breath. He would be the first millennial, you know, in Congress. He's the guy in skinny jeans and the skinny tie and the suit coat. And he's talking very moderate things like most successful Democrats do in Missouri, such as Claire McCaskill. He's okay on on gun rights. He's got military service. So I don't think that there's been anything to really that Blunt has really tried to stick to candor and has stuck.
Though he does have an F rating from the NRA.
He absolutely does. And I love the issue of guns in this race. I did a story for NPR early on, I think it was about in August, on this. And as we well know, the political ad of the year really is Jason Kander blindfolded, taking apart that rifle and then, you know, essentially throwing down the gauntlet to Blunt, saying, and I want to see Senator Blunt do that. That had to get in Blunt's head. And I have heard, you know, some things that it did. And what that also says, though, because Blunt does get the A rating from the NRA, Kander gets the F, but he is, I think, reflective of what most people think, which is, yes, we support the Second Amendment, but I do want background checks for terrorists. And that's what he says in that ad.
Jessica, I want to ask. Oh, go ahead.
No, but I think the one thing that has been more effective that Blunt and more largely national Republicans have tied to him is Hillary Clinton, where, mm-hmm. you know, she is not popular there in this state. You've had ads that have sort of shown his face morphing into Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I think this is sort of their most potent attack, and I think it's become even more potent over the past week, too.
Here's another one of those ads about the connection between Jason Kander and Hillary Clinton.
When Hillary Clinton went shopping for help with her liberal agenda, her first stop was Jason Kander's headquarters. Clinton just gave $500,000 to help Kander. She knows he supports her bad ideas like expanding Obamacare, amnesty for illegal immigrants, and liberal Supreme Court judges. If Hillary Clinton is president, Jason Kander will be a blank check for Clinton's liberal agenda. No wonder Kander keeps lying about Roy Blunt. The pay is good.
I'm Roy Blunt, and I approve this message.
So there's that.
And what's so interesting, I think, about him, as Jessica said, tying Kander to Pelosi and Obama and Clinton, is that it's as if the Blunt campaign is acting like Kander's the incumbent and trying to link him to the guys in charge, you know, the Democrats in charge. And that has been kind of astonishing. And you can't go anywhere near any media, at least in the Kansas City area, and not hear those ads over and over and over.
Except that Donald Trump has a 7-10 point lead in Missouri, it looks like at this point. So tying Jason Kander to the presidential candidate who's going to likely be defeated among Missouri voters might be not a bad idea. Is that how you see it, Jessica?
Absolutely. You know, there was sort of some tightening early on, I think, early in the month when we saw Donald Trump kind of cratering after, you know, the tape came out of what he said in Access Hollywood. You know, this was a state that we sort of had on the bubble to sort of watch if this was sort of a red state that Clinton could pick up. It has now sort of returned more to normal, I think. And so, you know, people I've talked to have said, you know, the best thing that can happen to Roy Blunt again is Donald Trump. They need him to help him, which, of course, is, you know, very ironic because that's not the case everywhere else in the country.
And having been initially, as many were, a little bit slow to fully embrace Donald Trump, Roy Blunt has not backed away from him as others have in these closing weeks of the campaign.
No, that's right.
And that doesn't hurt him there. So.
Along these same lines, as we talk about the connections between the national race and the Senate race, we really have to talk about money and the enormous amounts of money that have come into Missouri on behalf of the two candidates and on behalf of super PACs and Senate committees. In addition to the $22 million spent by the campaigns so far, as of the last report, $42 million, it was reported today, has come in from outside groups trying to influence the election in Missouri. $7 million from the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, $3.5 million from the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, but $10 million from the super PAC that Mitch McConnell is associated with and Karl Rove, the Senate Leadership Fund. Almost $3 million from the NRA in support of Blunt. Have you ever seen anything like this, Peggy?
I haven't really seen anything like this in a long time. And of course, this is one of the battleground states for the Senate majority. And so that's why it's so interesting. And the other, I think, powerful argument that Republicans are trying to use is that it will decide who's going to be the next Supreme Court. I mean, Blunt hits that every single time out on the campaign trail. That's what Ted Cruz hit this week when he was in Springfield campaigning for Blunt. So, yeah, I've never really seen cash that large, at least in a Senate race involving a long-term incumbent and a newbie.
We actually have some tape of Roy Blunt talking about that very thing on the campaign trail. Here's what he said.
No president, no Senate for the next 30 years is likely to have as much impact on the Supreme Court as the president we elect on Tuesday and the Senate we put in place on Tuesday. It is a critically important time.
That was a rally here in Kansas City, if I remember
Springfield,
correctly.
Actually.
Springfield, Missouri. All right. Jessica, continuing to talk about the money issues, can you put this in context for us? What does it mean that $42 million outside dollars are coming into Missouri for a race like this?
It means that this is a top priority for them. And for Democrats to try to take back the Senate, you know, some of the states they thought would be easiest, like Florida and Ohio, have moved off of their list. That's probably going to stay in Republican hands. So, you know, they need 5 to take back the Senate, 4 if Hillary Clinton is also elected. The thing that Democrats have been successful at is expanding the map, you know, that the fact that Missouri is on this list, that Indiana is on this list, speaks well. The fact that they have multiple paths, but that has absolutely become a narrower path, I think, certainly in the past week. And so, you know, I think that whether Democrats take back the majority could absolutely be decided in Missouri.
In addition to all the money coming in, we've also had some big names coming in and supporting these candidates. Just in the last few weeks here in the Kansas City area, we've seen, in western Missouri at least, we have seen some rather famous senators, higher profile senators than Roy Blunt even, coming in support of both sides. Let's take a listen first to Republican Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
And we need to keep a Republican majority in the Senate because we need the Senate to check the executive branch.
And not to be outdone, in support of Jason Kander, here's Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Jason is tough, he is smart, he is experienced, and he is going to fight for his values, fight for our values. Jason is going to fight for us. Now it's time for us to fight for Jason. Are you ready? Are you ready to fight for Jason?
So, are these things having an impact as you see it, Peggy?
Well, it's certainly getting out the vote. I was at that Warren rally a couple weeks ago, Friday afternoon in downtown Kansas City, and it was a love fest. I mean, they packed 1,000 people into this rather small place, and they had just sort of like all the down ticket Democrats too, warming the crowd up. And then Jason comes out, and then Warren comes out. There were hundreds of people even left outside this place in the Power and Light District in downtown Kansas City. And so then Warren and Kander went outside and were kind of doing the same dog and pony show out there. That all those videos went viral on Facebook from all the people hanging out waiting for it. So I think it is getting out the vote. Obviously, too, we had Joe Biden, the vice president, over in St. Louis. You know, those are two of the Democratic rock stars. So Kander has really gotten tremendous support from the party.
So Missouri has always had a high profile on the national stage, although that has changed over the years. We once were considered a bellwether, and people don't seem to talk about Missouri that way anymore. How have you seen that change, Jessica?
Well, you know, I feel like there's certain things have sort of made Missouri more competitive than it looks like. You know, last time you had the Senate race there with Claire McCaskill
Todd Akin.
You know, sort of making that more competitive. And, you know, I mean, I know sort of statewide, you know, it has to, you know, it's not unusual to see, of course, you all have a Democratic governor and things too. So, you know, it's not unusual to sort of see states that, you know, can elect certainly statewide Democrats on that level, but, you know, federally it's much harder.
And let's talk about that governor's race for just a quick minute here. Chris Koster, a Democrat, but a fairly conservative Democrat, facing off against Republican newcomer Eric Greitens. How much attention is that getting in national perspective, Jessica?
Well, I think, you know, we talk about Senate and House maybe getting a little bit of short shrift. I think the governor's races have gotten even less attention on the federal race. But, of course, they are very important, too. And this is a race where, you know, it seemed like Koster certainly had the edge up until even a few weeks ago. You know, back a month or so ago, he was leading by double digits in polling. And this one has absolutely tightened. I was talking to a Democrat yesterday who was watching some of these governor's races. And, you know, they're very nervous about this one. They think it will be very close on Election Day. And the problem is, you know, when you're down to sort of those undecided voters, in a state like Missouri, they tend to break more Republican. And so, you know, they don't necessarily like the trajectory of this race. I think that he can absolutely pull it out. And like you said, Kostery is more of a moderate. I think two things that have absolutely helped him is getting the NRA endorsement and the Farm Bureau endorsement.
Right. He is so well connected around the state. He has a lot of those endorsements, a lot of those connections. Police love him. And yet it's a virtual tie.
I really wonder if, when we all go back and look at it, if Kostery will regret saying, "I'm not going to debate you, Mr. Greitens, until you release your taxes." So Greitens doesn't release his taxes, so there were no debates. I wonder if Chris Kostery is not going to regret that later, because I'm sure he would have been really pretty amazing during those debates, and it would have helped his profile across the state.
Yeah, I think that's a really good analysis. I don't know why he was afraid. They had one candidate forum where there were five candidates on the ballot were in it. So it wasn't a head-to-head debate, but in it, it was fairly evident that Eric Greitens had his talking points. Chris Kostery, of course, had his, but sounded more connected with Missouri's issues, I think was sort of the general assessment of that debate. And I was surprised that he didn't want to debate more after that.
I was very surprised. I mean, yesterday we had reporter Sam Zeff out covering Greitens here in the Kansas City area. And as always, he uses his Navy SEAL background as, you know, sort of a model of how he would govern, you know, building teams and that kind of thing. And I think that really plays well with voters. That plays very well with voters.
I want to dig into a few more of the issues with the time we have left in this Senate race. But Jessica, I want to ask, are there issues that are big in all of the Senate races around the country that we haven't talked about that are or are not so relevant as we talk about the Kander-Blunt race?
Well, I think, you know, when a race has become nationalized, that is where it becomes, you know, much harder for, you know, the party that's sort of going away from the state to try to win. And where we've seen some of these senators that have been successful, I look at, you know, Ohio with Rod Portman. Rod Portman has successfully sort of made the race local. He's talked a lot about what he has done in the Senate, legislation he's passed, especially talking about the state's opioid crisis. And that's sort of the key to say, here's what I have done for you, and here's where it makes me separate from the national party. And Blunt really sort of hasn't done that. I mean, he's been a player in leadership. He is sort of very tied to the national party. And even though I think, you know, Republicans have, you know, maybe more positive views in Missouri, certainly, than they do, you know, maybe in Illinois or something, it doesn't seem like he has been able to point to that. And so I think, you know, he is sort of left with trying to run on some of these national issues. I think that Obamacare certainly is something that I think is, you know, the numbers that came out are going to help him. I think, you know, the race hasn't turned as much, it seems like, on national security, certainly. That you know, everything has just become so muddied this election cycle, I think, when you have such big personalities at the top of the ticket sort of overshadowing everything. I mean, this presidential race overall, it's not about issues, it's about personality. And it's sort of who is up and who is down, who is having a better news day. Is Donald Trump able to stay on message? What's happening with Hillary Clinton? You know, are there more emails, WikiLeaks and everything coming out? I mean, this overall has just not been an election about issues at all.
Marriage equality has come up on the campaign trail. Jessica, are people still talking about that nationally, or is that issue just about run its course?
It doesn't seem to be, I think, because, you know, you talk about those millennial voters, because it's one that sort of doesn't divide them as much. You're seeing younger, even more conservative voters that sort of accept this. And, you know, when you're trying to maybe, you know, rile up a state's religious base, it's something that can certainly work. But, you know, we haven't even seen the Donald Trump has not talked about it a lot in the way that we would see, you know, a traditional Republican candidate who especially needs more evangelical conservative voters to talk about it. Clinton has certainly talked about it. You know, she's portraying herself as someone who can protect that. And, you know, we are certainly seeing other Democratic candidates around the country talk about this. But, you know, it's one that's a very touchy subject for Republicans. And, you know, sort of, again, as I think, as acceptance of this and acceptance of the Supreme Court decision last year has sort of become more widespread. Again, you know, those new voters that you need sort of in that 18 to 35 year old range, it's just not as big of a divisive issue as it once was.
A big issue, I think, too, to add, Brian, to your question, is military service. That's played out here really well. You know, Roy Blunt deferred three times during college. That was during the Vietnam War when he was in college. Jason Kander, of course, volunteered after 9/11, and he is the first of those 9/11 soldiers to actually run for public office, at least for national office. And so that has played out well. I would say this when we talk about how things have gotten a bit dicey here in the last few days. I've talked to some Democrats who have helped on the Senate campaign who literally called Roy Blunt a draft dodger because they said, hey, that's what the Republicans called Bill Clinton back in the day. But Kander has not done that. Has he talked a ton about his military service? Oh, yeah. But he has never used the term draft dodger. So I think that that has been a huge issue that has resonated with both young and old in Missouri.
One thing I would say about just add to that, too, you know, with the military service, we're seeing, you know, sort of this rise of, you know, sort of young veterans, I think, you know, in the Senate. I think of Tom Cotton in Arkansas. Tammy Duckworth is likely going to be elected in Illinois as well. And, you know, people I've talked to, too, say, you know, Kander, if he does win, I think he is, you know, certainly a rising star within the Democratic Party. He just has the perfect profile for it. He is great on the campaign trail. I think he would, you know, would certainly have a tougher reelection maybe in 6 years. But I mean, he is someone that I think could, you know, certainly be sort of a go-to person for Democrats on the national stage going forward as well.
Something to watch for. So speaking of things to watch for, before we wrap up, I want to ask for some predictions here. You both have watched this race along with others closely. 3 days away. What do you think? Peggy Lowe?
I'm going to make a prediction, but I'm also going to offer just a little food for thought because a couple years ago, I covered the reelection race of Senator Pat Roberts out of Kansas, and he ran against a very attractive candidate by the name of Greg Orman. Orman was an independent, so he certainly didn't have the power of the Democratic Party behind him, but everyone was super excited and thought that Orman could perhaps take out this incumbent. I remember all the national reporters who were there at election night only to watch Orman lose by 10 points. So Roberts had him right away. So I'm going to give that as just sort of a little food for thought, but Kander does look really good right now in the polls. And privately, Democrats are saying he's going to win. And Republicans have, as Jessica mentioned early on, kind of written off Blunt. So my prediction is a Kander win.
And Jessica Taylor?
I'm going to agree with Peggy that, you know, it has certainly could be certainly a nail biter on election day. Again, you know, a week ago, I would have said Roy Blunt was pretty much out of this. And that's, you know, every Republican that I've talked to would have said the same thing. But, you know, I think that one thing I will say, too, is turnout is going to matter big. I mean, and I think that Democrats have typically the more sophisticated turnout operation that they're deploying, especially to Senate states. And, you know, that can certainly make for a point or two as well. And, you know, again, I think their trajectory of the race the whole time has been with Kander. And has it slowed a little bit? Yes. But, you know, I think ultimately he probably does pull it out very narrowly.
I'm going to make a prediction. I am going to be contrarian and actually predict that Roy Blunt's going to win. I think Missouri is, at its heart these days, a Republican state. I think when it comes down to the wire, that's the way it's going to lean. We'll see if that's true.
Okay, if that is true, then let's make a bet, and it's going to be donuts.
Donuts?
Since you didn't bring them this morning.
All right, how many donuts are on the line, Peggy?
Well, I'm going to need a couple. Now, Jessica's going to need a couple. So
right.
I don't know how we're going to get them to Washington, come on.
Okay, so I will provide donuts somehow to Jessica and for the KCUR newsroom if I am wrong, but I will get a dozen donuts from Peggy Lowe. I see how I
absolutely
just stated
we'll
those
it.
Terms. It's
you
a deal.
It.
Okay. That's it for today. I want to thank our guests. Jessica Taylor is the lead digital political reporter for NPR News. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
And KCUR's Peggy Lowe, covering the investigations editor and of course, also covering the Kander Blunt race. Thanks, Peggy.
Thank you.
But before you both go, you get to pick a song that captures your mood going into this final weekend of the election campaign, and that is the song we will go out on. But because there's two of you, you each get to suggest one, and I will choose which one is best. So what song best captures this moment in the national political zeitgeist? Peggy Lowe.
I'm going to say here's what captures perhaps the political reporters, all of them that I know, and we're all a little tired, and we've got to get some rest this weekend going into election week. I'm going to go classic rock, Taking Care of Business.
Taking Care of Business. That's
a strong, BTO, baby.
Strong choice. Mm-hmm. Can you beat it? Jessica Taylor.
So the song that has sort of gone through my mind so many times over the past few months in just such a weird election has been Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. I just feel like, is this just real life? Is it a fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. That's how I feel right now. As Peggy mentioned, none of us are getting a lot of sleep right now. You know, that's just, I feel like that has captured these past few very strange months for me in what has certainly been the strangest election that I have ever covered.
You know, I love Peggy, and you're going to get other chances, but I have to agree with Jessica.
I like that too.
Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. Thank you so much. State House Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. If you're listening to this online or on NPR One, great. Thanks. Now you should go subscribe. Look for State House Blend Missouri on iTunes or Google Play. We'll also be online at kcur.org/statehouseblend. If you use Twitter, that's a great way to keep up on the show and the news from Jeff City and sometimes from Washington. I'm at PTS Brian. You can follow the illustrious host of State House Blend Kansas, Sam Zeff. He's at Sam Zeff. You can find a shorter version of this program on the air on Tuesday mornings as part of Up to Date at 11 a.m. on KCUR. And if you have any other thoughts, shoot me an email at brian@kcur.org. Thanks so much. We'll see you on the radio.